Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be ever pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Dear Christian friends, fellow worshipers of the crucified and risen Lord, we've been following Jesus' final steps, the events of Holy Week. And tonight, we look at some events that happened in the temple courts early in the week, possibly on Tuesday. All week, he teaches in the temple courts, presenting himself to the people, proclaiming the grace and forgiveness of God. And all week, he encounters his enemies. Enemies like the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees had come to him, and they would pose questions to him in an attempt to trap him. And that's what happens just before our lesson for this evening. They come and they ask Jesus, "On whose authority do you teach?" But he sees the trap they've laid for him. So he turns it around. He says, "I'm not going to answer your question until you answer mine. On whose authority did John the Baptist teach?" So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law huddle together. They put their heads together. They mutter amongst themselves. And then they come back and say, "We're not going to answer your question. Because if we say John the Baptist was taught by his own authority, the people will get mad because they think he's a prophet. But if we say, well, John the Baptist taught by God's authority, then the people will ask, why don't you believe him? Therefore, we're not going to give an answer." And Jesus said, "Well, if you will not answer my question, likewise, I will not answer your question." And then he tells this parable, the parable that's recorded for you in Luke chapter 20, verses 9. It's printed for you in your service folder. He went on to tell the people this parable. And remember, the people here are all those who have gathered from around the country in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the festival that reminded them of the deliverance out of slavery, out of Egypt. He told the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid!" Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of what is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. This is the gospel of our Lord. Jesus uses an example, an earthly example, as an extended metaphor. That's really what a parable is, right? It's an extended metaphor used to teach. And he uses a scenario that the people who had come in from the countryside around Jerusalem would have been very familiar with, especially if they had come from Galilee. See, most of the farms weren't owned by the people who worked them. They were owned by rich individuals that lived in the cities, perhaps even in faraway cities like Jerusalem or Damascus or Rome. And they rented out their farm to individuals who worked the ground. And every year, a percentage of the harvest then was legally obligated to the owner of the field. And the owner of the field didn't really care if the tenant got rich, because the better the tenant managed the land, the richer the harvest, the more profit they got out of it. And then the tenant kept the remainder. And the people familiar with this system also would have been familiar with its abuses. The way in which tenants or owners took advantage of the other party. And he takes it to an extreme in this parable. Three times the owner had sent someone to collect what was rightfully due to them, what the tenants owed them. And three times these tenants beat him up, rejected him, sent them away empty-handed. Until he sends his very own son. And the tenants know, hey, this owner, man, he doesn't have many heirs. If this vineyard's part of that son's inheritance, well, if we kill that son, then there's no one to inherit it, and legally, the whole thing becomes ours. Then we don't have to give a cut at all to the owner. We can be the owners of this vineyard. So they kill the owner's son. And what is that owner going to do, Jesus says? That owner will come, kill those tenants, and give it to another. And immediately, notice the people's response. They say, God forbid, let it not happen. Jesus, no, that can't happen. Because they understood what he was telling them. They understood that those tenants were the people of Israel. The same people that Jesus, from far away from the city, overlooking it, had said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how long have I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. They knew their own history of a nation that had rejected the prophets of God, killed them for proclaiming his word. And they knew the words of Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 7 says, yes, the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are the planting that was pleasing to him. He expected justice, but instead there was oppression. He expected righteousness, but there was an outcry. And then that same chapter, Isaiah chapter 5, in verse 25 later says, therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and struck them. The mountains tremble, and their dead bodies will lie like garbage in the middle of the streets. The people understood that Jesus was saying in that parable, that for the evil of Israel, for the sin, for the rejection of God, that he would destroy Israel. And he would give his word, his promises to another nation. Hence they cry out, let it not be. God forbid that it ever happen. But theirs is not the only reaction. What of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Their reaction upon hearing this parable, which they knew he preached against them. They knew he was talking about them. They immediately look for an opportunity to arrest him, to have him killed. Their hearts instantly are ready to shout, crucify, crucify! Because he speaks against them. Jesus encountered his enemies every day, at every turn, as he taught in those temple courts. And yet, he continued to walk to them each morning because the people there needed to hear the message he was bringing. But the Pharisees were not the only enemies Jesus encountered in his final steps. He encountered enemies like you and me as well. And he gives this warning to us, these words that he speaks, the fulfillment of Psalm 118, the stone the builders has rejected has become the cornerstone. What is the cornerstone? Well, first of all, it's the stone from which all other foundational stones in the building are measured. So if your cornerstone is not square, your building is not square. If your cornerstone is set on uneven ground, then your building is unsteady. And on top of that, the cornerstone bears the load of two of the walls of the building. So if it is not a high quality, if it is not a strong, sturdy, sure stone, if it shakes or crumbles, then the building follows after. His enemies, the Pharisees, wanted to crush the cornerstone. They wanted to find a way to remove him. But instead, they fell upon him and were shattered. They themselves were crushed. And our broken, sinful hearts so often want to put something else in the cornerstone's place. So often we seek in our heart a way to build a house on something else. And Jesus warns us that that building, without him as the cornerstone, will not stand. By nature, we are enemies of God. By his grace, he has made us his children. And now we must keep watch, lest we succumb to those temptations again, lest we return to that state of ignorance, of blindness. Because the sinful nature in the world makes promises. Promises of instant gratification, of pleasure and enjoyment, but they are nothing but vapid, empty promises that may provide some modicum of pleasure for a brief moment, but quickly give way to hopelessness, emptiness, meaninglessness, and despair. The sinful heart that's in each of us here wants to lead us back into the darkness, wants to chain us to our sins once more. And so we keep watch, and we look at Jesus' final steps once more. Steps he took not to condemn the world, but to save it. Steps he took for his enemies like you and me. Not to condemn, but to forgive. Steps he took not to destroy us, but to restore us. Not to crush us, but to lift us up and give us hope. his final steps, leading to the cross where he died and the grave that he rises from. Bring us salvation. Reconcile us back to God. Repair this relationship that was broken in Eden. And then he gives us that message of reconciliation to spread as we remember just who we are. And this is how Paul describes us in Ephesians, that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That is the final result of Jesus' final steps that turned his enemies into his brothers and sisters. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.